Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
This is Tim Staples of Catholic Answers. I'm excited to let you know that I also teach high school apologetics for homeschoolconnections.com, an online Catholic curriculum provider. There are also recorded independent learning courses at homeschoolconnections.com. Whether you take apologetics with me, literature with Joseph Pierce, or philosophy with Bill Donahue, or any of the other 400-plus courses with homeschoolconnections.com, it's a great way to get Catholic learning for your family.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf here on Breadbox Media. I'm your host, Pete Sox, a Catholic book blogger, and today we have with us Father Thomas Daly. He holds the John Cardinal Foley Chair of Homiletics and Social Communications at St. Charles Borromeo Seminary in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. He obtained a doctoral degree in sacred theology from Political Gregorian University in Rome. And today we'll be discussing his book, Behold This Heart, St. Francis de Sales and Devotion to the Sacred Heart. Welcome to the show, Father.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Now, I guess the best way to start is, what brought you to writing your book, Behold This Heart?
Well, let's see. First of all, St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, her full name, is the apostle to the Sacred Heart. It was to her that Jesus revealed his Sacred Heart and asked for devotion to it. That was back in the late 1600s. Anyway, in May of 2020, that marked the 100th anniversary of her canonization as a saint. And so for the year leading up to that, the Vatican conceded to the Sisters of the Visitation of Holy Mary, which is the religious order to which St. Margaret Mary belonged. The Vatican conceded a Jubilee year. So during the Jubilee year, I was inspired to write this book.
Awesome. So why should we have a personal devotion to the Sacred Heart?
Well, I think the Sacred Heart devotion is really universally popular and important as well, for the simple reason that every one of us has a human heart. And, we recognize that the human heart is so central to who we are, to how we live, to what we value, to what we seek and what we desire. And the perfection, the redemption and perfection of that heart is in the Sacred Heart of Jesus. So devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus is devotion to the love of God for all human hearts.
Mm-hmm. So can you tell us a bit about the history of devotion to the Sacred Heart? And I first want to focus on St. Francis de Sales and St. Jane de Chantal and the foundation that was laid. And then we'll get into St. Margaret Mary in the next question.
Okay. Well, actually, devotion goes back farther than that, even, of course, to the time of Jesus and his death on the cross, when his own heart was pierced open by that Roman soldier sword. And really, that's where it begins. It was always a focus of preaching and commentary about the Gospel of John. Fast forward multiple centuries to the time of St. Francis de Sales at the end of the 16th century, the beginning of the 17th century. He wrote a lot about the human heart and about the central importance of the human heart. In fact, he had a sense or a vision of life as a world of interconnected hearts, and that was sort of a perfect world for him. Our hearts connected with God, our hearts connected with one another. And so in that tradition of Francis de Sales, who founded the religious order of the Sisters of the Visitation, Along comes St. Margaret Mary, and as I say, the end of the 1600s. She had three major apparitions or mystical experiences in which Jesus revealed his Sacred Heart to her. That was around 1673 to 1675. In those visions, she understood and experienced the Sacred Heart of Jesus, pleading with her, really, to introduce a universal feast, which we are going to celebrate on June 11th, to introduce a holy hour of adoration, and just simply to be more and more aware of and devoted to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Mm-hmm. So that's where our contemporary devotion to the Sacred Heart kind of takes shape from St. Margaret Mary onward.
And can you tell us a bit about what St. Margaret Mary experienced in those apparitions or visions she received?
Well, we know what she experienced primarily from her note-taking, her diaries, where she would speak about what happened. And typically she would be in prayer, usually late at night or before the Blessed Sacrament, and she saw Jesus. I don't know how else to put it, but she had this vision of Jesus and understanding him speaking to her quite clearly, showing his heart to her, imploring her on behalf of humanity and the world to, you know, try to get the rest of us to appreciate more the love that God has poured out for us. She writes about these visions in very sort of plain and direct language, as if it were, you know, happening right then and there. This wasn't, you know, kind of fictional writing she was making up, as is confirmed by the devotion to the Sacred Heart. It's hard to describe someone else's supernatural vision, but, you know, we do have her diaries that give us a sense of what she experienced.
Right. To sidetrack a bit, just to get your thoughts, isn't it amazing that, you know, we have these things that happen in church history, faith fortifying events, in this case, this devotion. And isn't it amazing that the most unlikely, simplest people are chosen time after time to carry out perhaps the most important tasks in church history?
Yeah, it is. It's a sure sign of God's grace, because it, you know, by every sort of logic, that would be not be the person to choose in such a case. I mean, it started with the apostles. I jokingly say to my students, no business management company would choose these 12 guys to run a global corporation. But it's in their simpleness, it's in their devotedness, really, that whatever the Lord asks of them plays out so well.
Now, that first part of the book we just talked about, you kind of spend the first part of the book looking at the history of the Sacred Heart devotion. In the second part, you focus on Salesian prayer. What makes this type of prayer unique, and how is it adapted from its monastic roots for use by laity, particularly in our busy secular world?
Sure. Well, it's not, I wouldn't necessarily call it unique. St. Francis de Sales was trained by the Jesuits, and so it's very much like the Ignatian form of prayer.
Okay.
What makes it powerful, I think, which also makes the Sacred Heart devotion powerful, is the emphasis that Francis de Sales places on the imagination. Now, I have to be careful here, because it's not imagination in our sense of like making stuff up, but imagination as the human faculty and ability to picture things. And so really, if you take, for instance, our reading of sacred scripture, we have to imagine that. It's not fake, it's not false, but we have to picture what's going on, because we weren't there. The stories help us to see and therefore to understand what's happening. Francis de Sales plays on that very much and emphasizes the importance of entering into the biblical scene, picturing it, placing ourselves there. You know, what do we hear? What do we see? What's going on? You know, sort of using our imagination to become part of the story. And from that, to be affected by the story. That's the key part to his method of praying. How is our heart affected by this revelation of God that we are entering into? Mm-hmm. That's also the key to the Sacred Heart devotion, precisely because it is so artistic and so image-based. You know, how do we sort of enter into that which we see? Right. In terms of prayer, obviously, you know, for a nun like St. Margaret Mary, who's spending her life in prayer, who has great practice at that, that meditation or that contemplative kind of looking, she can spend a whole lot of time doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Folks who have to work for a living, as I jokingly say, obviously don't have that kind of time. But the method still works. So if we can spend some time, however much we can, with, say, a gospel story about Jesus, take the story of the crucifixion and Jesus being pierced by the sword. Just read that gospel passage, you know, see it with your mind's eye, let it affect your heart, and then, you know, what can I do as a result of it? They're essentially the three steps of prayer for Francis de Sales.
Mm-hmm.
Affect your mind, you know, considerations for your mind, what's going on, what's being revealed, affections for your heart, how does this touch me, how does this move me? And then resolutions for your will. Okay, what am I going to do with that as a result of that?
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't necessarily take a lot of time. Obviously, the more you can spend on it, the better. But even busy people can meditate. In fact, that's why Francis de Sales wrote the book, precisely for the laity to be able to enter into this kind of prayer.
Yes, let's go down that path a little bit. What advice can you give to those of us? You know, we're in a very rushed world, even though the last 12 months it was kind of put on hold. But, you know, we're in a kind of a rushed world, packed schedules. Everything seems to get put in front of our spiritual lives. What's some advice you can give to those listening to effectively add more prayer time to their schedule?
Well, the problem with time is it's a zero-sum game, right? So there's only mm-hmm. 24 hours in a day, and we really can't add to it. So for folks whose schedules are already packed, it's virtually impossible to add time. Francis de Sales, I think, would say, make the things that you have to do, the duties and responsibilities, turn them into opportunities for prayer. So if I have to, I don't know, have a meeting, an appointment with someone, offer a little prayer before I start, that I treat this person charitably or that I react to this person with virtue. Then, in essence, the meeting or the appointment itself becomes the carrying out of that prayer. Hmm. So it's not a question of adding prayer. It's a question of, or it's a matter of, turning what we do into prayer. I think that's the better way of looking at it.
Excellent advice. So the third part of the book, what I would consider the heart of the book, no pun intended, but the subject matter, is the novena you've included in the book. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Right. Well, traditionally, the devotion to the Sacred Heart, or one of the traditions, is the celebration of a novena. When Jesus appeared to Margaret Mary, he asked her to spend an hour in adoration on each first Friday, or really the night before, when she would then receive communion. Back in her day, people did not receive communion frequently. So that gets translated into the first Friday celebrations throughout the year. And typically, the first Friday novena is to take nine consecutive first Fridays of the month and pray to the Sacred Heart. Now, it doesn't necessarily have to be those exact nine days. It can be any 9 days, any nine times. The nine is the novena key. So what I've done in the third part of the book is I've taken nine gospel passages, all of which point to something about the heart of Jesus, and commented on those passages both from a biblical point of view and from the point of view of the teachings of St. Francis de Sales. So it kind of, it tries to, each of those nine meditations tries to follow the form of meditation that I explained previously, but with regard specifically to passages from the Gospels that point directly to the heart of Jesus.
So in your role as a priest, how have you found devotion to the Sacred Heart impacted you in both your work as a priest and as a faithful Christian?
Well, as I said earlier, I think it's one of the more popular devotions there is. I think it's, I mean, certainly in this part of the world, it's very popular. In terms of celebrating it, you know, it's celebrated the first Friday of every month. There are, you know, novenas and prayers and consecrations to the Sacred Heart. I know the first Friday celebrations here at the seminary are always popular. They're open to the public. Was slowed down a bit by COVID, but usually, you know, Friday night at 8 p.m., we get a really good, surprisingly good crowd to celebrate First Friday. So I think it's alive and well. You know, we can always have more, we can always do more, but I think it's a devotion that people are drawn to and impacted by, again, precisely because every single one of us has a heart, so we can relate to this.
Mm-hmm. So I have to say, this is perhaps the most, I've been reviewing books now for about 10 years. So in all that time, I usually hit a book a week. And this is perhaps in that time, the most complete resource on the Sacred Heart that I've come across.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. The back of the book where you include the litanies and the prayers and the chaplets is a fantastic resource. What's your greatest wish for this book?
That people will benefit from it, that they will grow in their own devotion to the Sacred Heart. It's such a powerful devotion that I think the more we can enter into it, the more we can take from not just this book, but really the devotion itself, an awareness and appreciation of God's love for us. If that happens, this book is, you know, successful beyond what I could imagine.
Mm-hmm. And I think one thing worth adding here as well is it's beautifully laid out. It has a lot of artwork in it that's stunning.
Sophia Institute Press did a great job, I think, with the layout. And again, you know, it speaks to the power, the image making power of the devotion. And I think just praying with the images in the book will benefit folks.
Absolutely. Father, where can people find your book, Behold This Heart?
Well, as I said, it's published by Sophia Institute Press, online at sophiainstitute.com. It's also on all of the major online booksellers, the Amazon and Barnes & Nobles and all of that. And I suspect in any Catholic bookstore, if they don't have it, they certainly would know where to find it for you.
All right. Father, I want to thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule and spending it with us today. Any closing thoughts?
No, just wishes for many graces and blessings as we celebrate the Solemnity of the Sacred Heart of Jesus.
All right. And with that, you've been listening to Off the Shelf. I'm your host, Pete Sox, a Catholic book lover. Until next time.